And so I'm going to start here. I'm going to start in Genesis. Because we're going to talk about rules today. We don't like rules, do we? Until the neighbor breaks it, and then we're like, well, we need someone to enforce it, right? So we go back to the garden. And this is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not yet sent rain. He did today, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into the nostrils with the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man that he had formed. The Lord took the man, and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, rule number one, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat, you will surely die. And what did he do? He ate. She ate. We'll blame her. She blamed the snake. The man blames the woman. The woman blames the snake. He broke the rule. And there was a punishment, wasn't there? That we're out of paradise. We're out of the garden. Rule one. Chapter 11. I'm not sure what chapter it is. But the great flood. You know it. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and full of violence. And God saw how corrupt the earth had become. For all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm going to destroy them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat the pitch inside and out of it. This is how you're supposed to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. You're going to make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening, 1 cubit high all around it, like a porch, right? So the drafts can look out. And put a door on the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring the floodwaters onto the earth and destroy everything. You are to bring into the ark all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. He gave them a plan, didn't he? This is what you're going to do. What's going to happen if you don't do this? You're going to be flooded away, the rest of them, right? Here's my rule. You follow it, you'll be okay. So far, so good, right? Follow God's rules. Beyond Exodus 4. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, this is what the Lord says, the God of Israel. Let my people go. Pharaoh says, what? Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I don't know the Lord, and I will not let you go. What happened to Pharaoh? He was given a command, wasn't he? He lost his son. He lost all those people. He lost a lot of life. He didn't listen. Then the Lord came down and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. So he says he loves us, right? And he's going to forgive us. But what? He will not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children to the third and the fourth generation. Exodus 34, verse 10. Then the Lord said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. If you obey me, if you obey my rules, I will bless you. Seems like something we'd want to do. So far, we've seen what happens when we mess up. But wait, there's more, right? We got more time to mess this up. Before all your people, I will do wonders never done before in any nation of the world. And the people that you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. He says, obey what I command you to do today. Don't make a treaty with the people living in the area. Break down their altars. Don't worship like they do. Don't eat the foods that they do. You're going to be a different people. See what he's saying here? You don't want to be like the rest of the world. I'm going to tell you how to live. I'm going to give you specific instructions. I will make it crystal clear to you. Do you understand? Don't eat from that tree. Build the ark like I tell you to. Don't worship the other gods, worship me. I'm the one who made you. You make your own gods and worship them. He says, don't worship any other god. Don't make treaties with other tribes. Don't make idols. Celebrate the festival of the unleavened bread. Bring the first of every livestock to me. Bring them to me. Redeem the firstborn donkey with a lamb. 6 days you shall labor, seventh day you shall rest. Celebrate the festival of weeks with the first fruits. 3 times a year you're supposed to gather before me and celebrate. Do not offer the blood of a sacrifice along with anything containing yeast. He's got rules. You're not like everyone else. He says here in Exodus, do not cook a young goat in a mother's milk. You know that's 3 times in the Bible. It's in Exodus here. It's in Deuteronomy twice. That sounds pretty crazy. Why? We know do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not do all these sins. But 3 times he tells us, don't cook a goat in its mother's milk. Why is that? Because that's what they do. Not my people. That's all. This is what they do. You don't do that. Fran, you don't cook your goat in your mother's milk. So if we eat a cheeseburger, are we sinning? Because that's what they go with. Oh, Leviticus says you can't take 2 products from the same animal, put them together, and make something, right? You can't wear poly and cotton together. We'll get to that. Not today. These are the rules he gives them. Rules, rules, rules. Obey these. He goes on. We can't get through the book of Exodus. He gives us Sabbath regulations. He gives how you're going to build the tabernacle. He even names the people who are going to build it. These two are going to build it. Bezalelel and Oholiab. They're going to build my tabernacle. He's going to give them the shape, the size, the dimensions, the decorations. Build it exactly as I tell you. You understand? This is how you're going to worship me. You don't know what you're doing. You've been in Egypt for 400 years. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know how to worship. I'm going to tell you how to worship, and then you're going to tell the world. You get it? You are a people set apart. This is you. This isn't the Israelites. This is Cherry Hill Church. He's going to tell you how to build the Ark of the Covenant. You've seen that. Remember Harrison Ford found it? Now we don't know where it is in that movie, that wonderful movie. The Ark of the Covenant, the lampstand. He's going to tell you how to build a lamp. Here's how you build these altars. Here's what you do for the burnt offering, the basin for washing. Here's how you build the courtyard. Here's how the priest shall dress. This is how they shall bathe before they come. Rule, lots of rules. We haven't even hit the rule book yet. That's the book of what? What's the book of rules in the Bible? Leviticus. Y'all read Leviticus recently? It's hard to get through. One lady wanted to quit. She actually left our Bible study because she's an animal lover and there's a lot of sacrifice in there. She goes, I can't come for it anymore. So we said, we'll skip the sacrifices. But the sacrifices are there, aren't they, God? Because we'll get to that. You've got rules to follow. We go to the book of Leviticus and it's all these rules. And you can look at yourself tonight. But you see the sons of Aaron, he said, there's a way that you light the candles in the church, Joe. There's a way you light it. If someone does it a wrong way, what happens to the sons of Aaron? They tried to do it with their own candles, their own fire, and the fires consumed them. This isn't how you do it. God's rules. God says you don't touch the ark. So they're bringing the ark from somewhere back to Bethel, or I forget where, and they have it on a cart, and it starts to fall off, and a man doesn't want to see it hit the ground, right? So he does what anyone else would do, right? He pushes it back on. What happens to him? He's struck dead. You don't touch the ark. He's got his rules. And if you don't like the rules, make them not rules, and then you don't break them, right? Isn't that what we do in society? If we don't like the rules on the books, let's change them. And if you have opposition, you know what the best thing is? Wait for the opposition to leave, and then we change. And I'm going to bring this very politically to our church. They said you're not allowed to, they got rid of disaffiliation the other day. No one else can leave. This was a time when if you didn't like the changes, that we were supposed to leave if you didn't like the changes. Well, they made the changes that everyone knew they were going to make when the opposition was gone. So nothing changed. The two sides didn't come to agreement. They just agreed to split up. We're going to do things our way, and you can do things your way. That's not when no one wins. When there's I'm not a sociologist or what, or a lawyer, but if you can't convince the other side that they're wrong, or to show them that they're sinners too, and we say this isn't a sin, and someone says this is a sin, who's right? On the battlefields of Jericho, Joshua was there. He was there 40 years before, wasn't he? And people said, well, let's go attack. And what did the people say? No, we're afraid. God says, I'm going to make you wander the desert for 40 years till all of you pass away, except for Joshua and Caleb. 40 years later, there's Joshua standing on the battlefield, and he's overlooking things and seeing, how's he going to beat these people? How's he going to destroy this city? God said, take this city of Jericho. And he's standing there. And who does he meet? He meets the commander of the Lord's army. Now he starts to bow down before him because the man says, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. Bow before me. He's not an angel, is he? Because in Revelation 19, it says you don't bow before created creatures, right? So who is this person standing before him? Well, it's Jesus, right? It's God in human form. Because you bow before God. When Moses is in the desert and he's in front of the burning bush, God says, take your shoes off and bow before me. It is God is in form in your presence. So there we see Joshua standing before the commander with a drawn sword. And he says to that commander, whose side are you on? And what does the commander say? No, I'm not on either side. Whose side are you on? This is where we are today. You see, Jesus, as Tom was talking about, Jesus and he's at the Last Supper, and there he's breaking bread with his disciples, and Judas has already dipped his bread in the oil, and he's left. He's going to go tell the priests and the security where Jesus is. And Tom told you last week about the vine and the branches. Jesus says, I'm the vine, and you are the branches, and my Father is the gardener. And you heard that wonderful story. I won't repeat it, but he stopped at verse 9. He says, as the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, and I remain in his love. I'm going to skip verse 11. We're going to come back to that one. And so he says this, my command is this. Love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I will no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love one another. So we say this, we try to spread this love. All we got to do is love one another. And if your kids are bad, if your grandkids come over your house and they start breaking your fine china, do you have any? Do we say no? No to this. You can't do this. Well, it's fun to break stuff. They hear the ksh and have someone else clean it up. Just love, comma, right? The wages, Romans 6:23 was what? Who knows that by heart? The wages of sin is death, right? If you sin, you die. Period, right? No, comma. But the gift of God is salvation in Jesus Christ. Wages of sin is death, but people like to say wages of sin is death. That's it. See, you sin, you die. Bad you. No, but the gift of God is salvation in Jesus Christ. So we say this, this has been on my heart all week because of what I see happening in my Google feed explaining to me what's happening with the Methodist. And, you know, we all love being a Methodist, and it fell apart on us. And the scripture wasn't being upheld. And this is his rules. We can't change them. It says there in John, if you change one word in the Bible, you are cursed forever. We can't change this. And we love one another. And that's not the issue. The issue is we can't change the rules. We have to follow the rules. Sometimes the rules aren't what we want. I'm not allowed to play golf every Friday and go out drinking with my friends till midnight and come home to a happy wife. That's not how you get to 60 years, is it, Kyle? You might make it 20 and then you're done and you're looking, oh, who's next? That's not how we make it, right? I don't get to do what I want. You have to deny yourself, right, Steve? Someday you got to come home and do it, and you're okay with that because there's benefits and all these, we won't go into detail, but there's lots of, it's wonderful. So we have these rules that are here to harm us, right? No. What are these rules here to do? And this is where we'll go back to verse 11 here in John 15. What does Jesus say? If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. And I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. If you follow the rules, you'll have joy. Whew, there had to be something with all these rules. 613 rules there in the book of Leviticus. 600 rules. Twice they say don't eat a mother's the goat thing. Twice. That's why when I go to Chick-fil-A and they got that chicken sandwich with an egg on it, I go, nope, Leviticus says no, we can't eat that, can we? That's kind of weird anyway. Who wants chicken for breakfast? I don't. Around 11, you can give me one. It's our joy. We follow his rules, we'll have joy. They're not here to harm us. Jesus says there in Matthew 5, chapter verse 17, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish the law, but to have them fulfilled. Who can keep all the commands? Anyone here can do it? You break one, you break them all, right? Can you keep them? Neither side can keep them. They can't keep them and we can't keep them. But Jesus says, I can keep them. I'm the only one that can keep them. I fulfilled them. I fulfilled what the prophet said, that there would be a suffering servant. When Moses said, God will raise up a prophet like me, you must listen to him. That's Jesus. I'm the one this is all pointing to. When Abraham's seed, that is him. And Eve said God said to Eve that you will crush the snake. Your seed will crush him. That's Jesus. It all points to Jesus, and it all comes to fruition in his life. We can't obey all the rules. 600, we couldn't obey one. We couldn't obey 10. We can't obey 613. We can't obey his one rule to love one another either. So both sides need what? We all need a Savior, don't we? And that's what we preach here. We are inclusive. And I hate that stupid word because everyone uses it wrong. We are included. Everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome to the table today to take from the bread and the cup, to lay down your burdens, to have them lifted up and picked up by Jesus today. Jesus didn't come with these rules to ruin our lives. He came to give us joy and complete joy. That's what he came to do for all sides, left, right, middle, for them and for us, for everyone. Love one another and bear fruit, and your joy will be complete. I hope that's what we want. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the blessings. We thank you for those who showed up to hear your word, to hear your scripture, to hear the rules that we know we can't follow. We know that we will break them. But if we believe in your Son, and we do with our hearts and our soul and our minds, that we will have joy still. Pain comes in the night, joy comes in the morning. It will be complete. It will fulfill us. This world needs Jesus. This world needs you, Lord. This world needs to get down on bended knee and call out to you each and every day. We need you, Lord, in our lives. More of you, less of us. Your will be done, not ours. And so as a praying people, we come to the table today, the take of the bread and the cup, and to know that, to be still for a moment, and to know that you are God. We come together to this table in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the people say, Amen.